The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you tonight, to be with you again as we reach this Wednesday evening of our gospel meeting. I'm enjoying our time together, grateful that you're here. I'm glad to be with you. Prayerfully, the things we've been discussing and the things that we'll discuss this evening will be beneficial to us as we seek to know more of the will of God and do those things which would be pleasing to Him. I know it's a little chilly, as I mentioned, but that'll keep everybody awake maybe through the sermon. We're glad you're here. Take out a Bible that you might be able to follow along with me. I encourage you to do that. And I want you to understand that as we come to the Word of God, basically there are two categories of people presented in it. Those who are wise and those who are foolish. There's really no in-between given in Scripture. In many places you see it talking about the wise and talking about the foolish. It doesn't talk about those that are somewhat wise or those who are somewhat foolish. And so we should understand from that you and I fall into one of those two categories as well. Either we're to be counted among those who are wise or counted among those who are foolish. Now, I'm sure that if I were to ask most people, which would you rather be considered? Would you rather be considered wise or foolish? What do you think most people are going to choose? Wow. They'd rather be with the wise, wouldn't they? And I'm sure you would be, and I know that I would rather be numbered among the wise as well. Over in James chapter 3 and verse 13, James 3 and verse 13, in the beginning of that verse, James asks the question, who is wise and understanding among you? And I want to consider that question with you a little bit this evening as we think about the idea of who is wise. Because as we go through the Bible, it gives us the answer to that question. And if you and I desire to be numbered among the wise, then we need to be having these qualities that we're going to be discussing this evening. That we might, when we ask that question, who is wise, realize that we're counted in that number. And thinking about that biblical question, who is wise, the first place, I want you to know with me, that the Bible teaches that the one is wise who refrains their lips. You find this over in Proverbs 10 and verse 19. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, notice it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Do you see that there? The one is wise is the one who refrains or restrains their lips. You see, in the first part of that verse, he says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Some people talk all the time. They don't have any control over their mouth. And as a result, they oftentimes find themselves sinning with their tongue. But the one who shows restraint, who restrains or refrains their lips, is numbered among those who are wise. The idea, by the way, of refraining or restraining your lips is to control your mouth. Some people seem to have no control over their mouth. They open up their mouth before they begin to think about what they're going to say. And you and I need to be cautious about that. If we want to be numbered among the wise, we need to think always before we speak. Over in Proverbs 17 and verse 28, Proverbs 17 and verse 28, we read these words, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. There's an interesting thought being put there. In fact, there are many sayings that are truisms that are noted along these lines. Have you ever heard anyone say it this way? Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. And that's the idea behind that passage, is that somebody who's a fool, when they hold their tongue, when they shut their mouth, they'll be thought to be somebody who's perceptive, somebody who's wise. And we need to understand the importance then of showing control of our speech. Have you ever heard anyone say along this line, I just need to vent for a moment? You ever heard anybody say that? I hear people say that a lot of times. They say, I just need to vent about something a little bit. Well, the next time you think that you need to vent about something, I'd remind you of the words of Proverbs 29 and verse 11. In Proverbs 29 and verse 11, the wise man said, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." You know, whenever I hear somebody say, "I just need to vent for a little while," you can almost mark it down that what they're going to do is they're going to show themselves to be a fool. Because you see, it's a fool who vents all their feelings, who shows no control over their lips and over their speech. And you and I need to be among those who are wise, because we can hold our speech back. We have control of our mouth instead of letting it run wild. And somebody might say, "Well, what does it matter what I say?" Well, it matters a lot. Think about the words of James 1 in verse 26. In James chapter 1 in verse 26, there you see James writing, and James in this context is dealing much with the tongue in the context of the book of James. But in James 1 in verse 26, he says, "And if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue," that's the idea, by the way, of refraining your lips. He says, "and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is" what? It's useless. It can render your religion vain if you don't show control over your tongue. And so as we think about the idea of who is wise, may we understand that the one who refrains their lips is wise. And if you and I want to be counted among the wise, we need to learn to be in control of our mouth instead of letting it run wild. In the second place, as we ask that Bible question, who is wise, we find the Bible giving the answer that the one who wins souls is wise. I appreciate that song being led for us just a few moments ago, wanting to be a soul winner for Jesus. I hope you want to be a soul winner for Jesus. Because if you're a soul winner for the Lord, you show yourself wise. I know this because of what I read over in Proverbs 11 in verse 30. In Proverbs 11 in verse 30, the wise man said, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life." And then he said this, "And he who wins souls is" guess what? Wise. The one who wins souls is wise. And when we think about the idea of winning souls and showing ourselves wise in doing that thing, we might ask the question, why? Well, let me say that the wisdom found in winning souls is seen in the fact that a soul is a man's most valuable possession. If I was to ask most people, "What's your most valuable possession?" A lot of people would say, "My home." Some people would say, "My car." Other people would say, "My family." And you know, all those things have value, particularly your family, as you think about those who you hold dear and in your heart. But none of those things are equal to the value of your soul. Did you realize that? Jesus taught that very thing over in Matthew 16 in verse 26. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, "For what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus' message is this, is that if you could gain every treasure that this world possibly has to offer, it would not be worth your soul. Your soul is worth more than every treasure in this world. And you know, we think about some of the wealthiest people that live, and they don't have all that this world has to offer. They don't have everything that's here on this earth. But understand that even if they were able to have everything, if you were able to have everything, it would not be worth your eternal soul. You see, your soul is invaluable. And when we teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we see their soul being saved, we show ourselves wise in doing that. Because as Christians, that's what we're called upon to do. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, "The things you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And Paul, as we noted earlier in the week, is telling Timothy, "Timothy, the things that I taught you, you teach others, that they might teach others." And let me tell you that if you're a Christian and your soul has been won to the Lord, that you are called upon to teach those things that have been taught to you to others, that you might show yourself wise, that you might be winning the souls of men. You know, sometimes we don't read a lot about some of the apostles in Scripture, but I appreciate when I think about Andrew, the things I read about Andrew in John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, we read that one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. You see, one thing I appreciate about Andrew is Andrew was a soul winner. When he met the Messiah, when he met Jesus, the very first thing he did is he went and he got his brother and he brought him to the Lord. And we'd do well to have more Andrews today, showing themselves wise because they know the Lord, they know what's right, and they go out and they bring others to Him that they might meet the Lord and that they might be saved by Him as well. We need more Andrews among us today. And let me make one other point there about the wisdom that's seen in soul winning. You know, as I said, you don't read so much about some of the apostles. Andrew's one of those apostles that you don't read a whole lot about. But you know who you do read a whole lot about? You read a whole lot about Peter, his brother, who he brought to the Lord. And let me say this, that you never know who you might bring to the Lord and all the good that they might do in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? You don't know. You might teach somebody and convert them. You might win that soul to the Lord. And that soul might be responsible for converting countless souls to the Lord. We need to appreciate the wisdom that's seen in winning souls. We ask you this evening, are you wise? Are you a soul winner for Jesus? But in the third place, asking that question, who is wise? The Bible gives us the answer that the one is wise who knows the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy saying, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the Scriptures are able to make us wise, wise unto the things that are really important, not the wisdom of man, but instead the wisdom of God, and wise even unto the saving of our soul. Wisdom comes by knowing the Scriptures, and we need to never forget that. You know, there's a lot of people in our world that are considered wise when really the Bible calls them fools. Did you realize that? You know, that amazes me. It amazes me to see Christians giving credence to those who are nothing but fools. I have a sermon, actually, that I preach sometimes. I call it Wise Fools. And I talk about the people that individuals consider to be so wise that are nothing but fools. For instance, a lot of people are proposing a lot of things where they deny the very existence of God. And people say, oh, look at how wise they are. Look at how knowledgeable they are. Look at how smart those individuals are. Do you know what the Bible says about them? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Every time I hear someone say there is no God, or everything around us is a result of chance and circumstance, I mark it down that that person is a fool and nothing but a fool. Because they deny the very existence of God. We need to realize where true wisdom comes. True wisdom comes from a knowledge of the Scriptures, the Word of God. For those things are able to make us wise unto salvation, the really important things in this life. But let me tell you that knowledge of the Scripture doesn't come by accident. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you go home tonight and you could lay down and you put the Bible underneath your pillow and somehow or another you'd wake up in the morning and all of it soaked in? Wouldn't that be nice? Doesn't work that way, does it? In order to be wise and know the Scripture, you must read and study the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Ephesians 3 and verse 4, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus saying, whereby when you read, notice this, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The way to gain knowledge is to read and to study as well. We think about the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 when Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, we need to be studying the word of God. We need to be reading it. We need to be searching it out that we might know it, and that knowing it we might show ourselves wise before God. We ask you the question this evening, do you know this book? Do you spend time reading it and studying it that you might be numbered among the wise? But in the fourth place, as we ask that Bible question, who is wise, we see the Bible answering back that it is the one who hears and obeys. Over in Matthew chapter 7, you remember the story that Jesus tells. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at verses 24 through 27 together. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, as Jesus concludes the wonderful Sermon on the Mount. He said in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a what? To a wise man who built his house on the rock.
And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, I enjoy hearing the children sing that song about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock, even as we just read. And so when the rains came down and the floods came up, the wise man's house did what? Stood firm, didn't it? And the wise man, Jesus said, is the one who hears his saying, who hears his words and then what? Does them. Does the things that are commanded. The one is foolish who hears the commandments of Jesus Christ and fails to do them. And let me tell you that if you're building your life upon that kind of way of living, of hearing and not doing, ultimately you're going to find ruin at the end. Because even as the children say, the wise man who built his house upon the sand, when the rains came down and the floods came out, what happened? The foolish man's house went. Flat, didn't it? We need to see the great importance of showing ourselves wise by hearing and obeying the commandments of the Lord. It's not enough to hear. Even as we were talking about before, you show yourself wise when you know the Scripture, but you need to be willing to obey those things which are taught in Scripture. For we must be doers and not hearers only. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, a principle stated by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." God has always felt that way, that it's not enough to hear and to know. It's only enough when we hear and we know and then we do. I think about the words of James over in James chapter 2. And I know a lot of people today who claim to know the Word of God, but they don't do the things that God tells them to do. And they think, well, I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, but I don't do those things. And somehow they think that they're going to be saved. Let me tell you, as you look at James chapter 2, in verses 14 through actually 25, we find that that's not going to work. Because there's a profitless faith in verse 14. Not only that, it's an unprovable faith, verse 18. It's a dead faith, verse 17. It's a faith like the demons have, verse 19. Again, he says it's a dead faith in verse 20. In verses 21 through 23, it's an incomplete faith. And surely that's not going to save anyone. We need to recognize the importance of doing those things which God's Word tells us to do that we might be right before Him. In James chapter 1, as we're there in the book of James, notice with me verses 22 through 25. We're here to our point. James says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who hears is a hearer of the Word and not a doer. He is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." You see, we need to be hearing the Word of God and we need to be doing it, that we might be building our house upon the solid foundation of the rock, that ultimately it might stand and we might find the eternal salvation of our souls. We ask the question this evening, how are you building? Are you building as a wise man, hearing the words of Jesus and doing them? And that actually leads us into our next point. As we ask the Bible question, who is wise? We find the Bible answers that it's the one who shows their works. We begin with that passage over in James chapter 3 and verse 13. And in James 3 and verse 13, we read the whole passage. At this point, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." May we understand that the one is wise who shows his works, who shows good conduct, who does those things which God would have them to do. You know, we must be showing our works today. And by the way, as you think about this, I want you to understand these are not works about which we should boast. That's actually pointed out in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 when it talks about our salvation. It says, "Not of works, lest man should boast." And A lot of people get confused there when they note those things that we saw just a moment ago in James chapter 2. And they think James and Paul are opposed to one another because they think that James is saying that you don't just need faith but works. But then Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 is saying all you need is faith and you don't need works because works don't bring about your salvation. But that's not the case. You see, they're looking at it from different perspectives. James in James chapter 2 is dealing with the one that says all I have to do is say I believe and not have any works and that's going to save me. And James is saying that's not going to work. You have to have both. And what Paul is dealing with in Ephesians chapter 2 is he's dealing with the other extreme where someone says I can work and by those works God will have to save me and I don't need faith, and neither one of those is correct. As we think about showing our works, even as we noted those passages in James chapter 2, showing our works is absolutely essential. It's what makes our faith complete, that we might have true faith, a saving kind of faith before God. But may we understand that we might not suffer from a checklist religion. And what I mean by that is some people, they get the idea, well, I prayed and I studied and I gave and I read, whatever. And they go through those checklists and they say, okay, now at the end, God owes me salvation. Well, you see, God doesn't owe any of us salvation. That's why it's still by grace. But we need to be showing our works. We need to be letting our light shine before men. Didn't Jesus teach that over Matthew chapter 5? In verse 13, He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to be doing the good works that God has called us to do, showing those good works in our lives that we might be numbered among those who are wise. Now, there are many other things that we can note in this lesson about what it takes in order to be numbered among the wise. But as we ask that question, who is wise? One last point I want to share with you is that the one who is wise in the Bible is the one who makes preparation, the one who prepares. You see this very clearly over in Matthew chapter 25. And you remember the parable that Jesus tells in the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The parable of the 10 virgins. And in those 10 virgins, you remember that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Do you remember why the wise were wise and the foolish were foolish? The foolish were foolish because when the call that the bridegroom came was issued in the middle of the night, they woke up and they didn't have enough oil for their lamps. They were found unprepared. But then the Bible tells us the wise were noted as being wise because they were ready. They were prepared. And when the call came by midnight that the bridegroom comes, they arose and they had prepared themselves with extra oil for their lamp. And they were able to go out and enter into the wedding feast. And we need to see the great importance of being prepared, even as we see in that parable. Jesus says in verse 13, in concluding those thoughts, He says, watch therefore, that is, be prepared, He said, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. If you really want to be wise, you need to prepare yourself to meet the Lord. It's going to come unexpectedly in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. 2 Peter 3 in verse 10, Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Notice the day of the Lord when Jesus returns, bringing judgment with Him and our eternal destiny. He'll come as a thief in the night. By the way, how does a thief come? Are there any signs of a thief coming? Aren't in there, are there? You know, if a thief was going to break into your house, some of you might have suffer through something like that. Does a thief come and put a note on your door, put a little sign there and say, I'll be by about 3 o'clock this morning, and sign it the thief? He doesn't do that, does he? You see, a thief catches you when you're unprepared. That's when they try to catch you. The day of the Lord is going to catch many people unprepared. It's going to catch many people unprepared, for they have not prepared themselves to meet the Lord. And we need to consider ourselves and ask ourselves, will we be ready to meet the Lord when He returns? Because the one is wise who is prepared to meet their Lord. We ask you the question this evening, are you wise? As we noted at the beginning, there's basically two categories of people, those who are foolish and those who are wise. If you want to be counted among the wise, you need to have these qualities that we've discussed this evening. You need to restrain your lips. You and I need to see the importance of showing control over our mouth instead of just letting it run wild. If you want to be wise, you need to be winning souls, winning others to the Lord by teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, being a soul winner for Jesus. You need to be one who knows the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, because you spent time reading it and studying it and hearing the words of Jesus. You need to be obeying it. For if you want to be wise, you must hear, and you need to be obeying. You need to show your works by good conduct. Go about from day to day doing those things which knowledge of God's Word drives you to do, setting a good example before others. And you need to be one who is prepared to meet the Lord. We hope that you're numbered among the wise, but if you're not this evening, you can change that even tonight. Well, time and opportunity affords itself to you. We talked about being prepared to meet Jesus. The only way to be prepared to meet the Lord is to have obeyed Him. If you're outside of the body of Christ, won't you become a Christian even tonight? You've heard the word, no doubt, that Jesus came, died, shed His blood, that your sins might be washed away. If you believe that with all your heart, won't you turn away from your sins and repentance? Make the good confession of your faith. Be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, that you might begin to be prepared to meet Him. And then in order to stay prepared, continue in faithfulness before Him.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.